Good evening, everyone, and welcome to My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. I am Michael Bejas, the producer, right here on the Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world. And you can come on over to the Trim Radio Network, where you can buy our merch. And we'd love to see you in it, because I'll tell you what, that would show some great support, helps us stay on the air. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is. The opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And that includes any medical and professional information as well. Always speak to your medical or professional health physician. Anyway, this song right here, Leave It to Beaver, is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 1-803-866-1667. Call in, give us your opinion, and we'd love to hear it. And without further ado, here is Stu.
Hey, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what. Those storms really caused a problem. And I know you had them on the East Coast, and I had them here in Ohio, and sometimes I get them before you, and sometimes you get them before me. It just depends on what's happening around here.
We're getting them tonight, and I'm just rolling with it. You know what? Sometimes you just got to roll with it, because we haven't been on that much, and we just can't keep going week after week doing this. So we're taking a chance, but we're going to go for it. And I got the backup battery in there now, so let's just hope that it holds. If we cut out, I apologize.
Well, that's okay. I'll tell you what. I was looking at the Wunder map, WUNDERMAP, and looking at the weather. You know, last week we had some problems, and we could not be on the air because of those problems. And it was kind of testy in a way. I'll put it that way. We had some nasty storms that came in the middle of the night. And, of course, then you had them, I think, the next day. And my Wunder map is not – oh, there we are. It's cooperating. I don't want to have to slap it around. I mean, you know, hey. Right now I'm looking at the Wunder map, and there's a line of storms from Chicago and Gary, Indiana – all the way down to, oh, just west of Evansville, Indiana. Oh, and it's a long stretch. Luckily, we don't have any problems here in Ohio right now. And I'm going to take a look at the future. I'm a soothsayer here. And looking at the map, right now, I am still showing the stuff from Chicago on down and Danville, Illinois, and Terre Haute, Vincennes, Indiana, and parts south. Up around Chicago, it's pretty nasty. You're in some yellow and red up there right now. And here in western Ohio, we're in good shape. We had a brief storm west of where I live. And it came down in one big whoosh, and one side of the road was wet. I mean, stormy wet. The other side of the road was absolutely dry.
I've seen this happen so many times in South Carolina, and it just is bizarre. And, you know, but that's exactly where it cuts off. And now we had thunder, we had lightning. We had it pouring probably about 45 minutes ago, and they said severe storms for the rest of the night. It's quiet right now. So I'm crossing my fingers. I'm going to let you go, because I've got a whippet downstairs that loves to talk back, and it's making all kinds of noise. So,
well, it's making noise. I know what a whippet is. It's kind of like a baby greyhound in a way.
It is. And this thing hops around the whole house like a deer. It could change directions, leap. And it's just a puppy. I mean, it's about a year old, but it's already tall. It's super strong and fast, fast, fast. And the pit bull that I have, Diesel, he is like, they're like, you know, she is a female and Diesel's a male. They're like little lovers and they have a blast together and play rough together, but she's making all kinds of noise. So I'm going to let you go. Don't forget.
You tend to the whipping.
Yep. Don't forget, folks, Stu is going to say something about Rusty Duck's pens. And before he does, I want to let you know, get one. And that's all I can say. Anyway, he's going to carry on without further ado. Here is Stu. Bye, Stu.
All right. We'll see you in an hour, bro. Hey, I'll tell you what, guys. The weather here in Ohio has been a little crazy.
Can you hear me?
And we've been having storms and some hail, but nothing that's really big. I've been following Reed Timmer, T-I-M-M-E-R, and he's a storm chaser, and he keeps replacing windshields on a beat-up car that he uses to chase storms. And I don't know how many windshields he goes through in a season, but he just got a new one, and basically a couple days it's shattered and he's out west. I think he was in Montana or else he was in South Dakota. Anyhow, he does that for a living. He's a meteorologist and he likes to chase storms. I watch them once in a while, but I don't really get into chasing a lot of storms. But I'll tell you what, and hopefully you can see this. I do have a GMRS radio, General Radio Service radio. $35 for 10 years for a license. No test, no nothing. Pay the money, and you get a license. And it's great. And I can monitor all kinds of things. You heard it beep. And it talks to you. Right now I'm listening to trains, but not during the show. I have the channel so I can listen to north-south lines that pass through my town. And that's kind of interesting. And I can listen to a lot of different things. But these are good to communicate and listen to also what's going on. I've got all the emergency channels in the United States in this little gem. And the only thing of it is it cost me about $230. But you can get cheaper ones for about $35. And you could have one. Your wife could have one, significant other. The kids could have one. And if you're, you know, 10 miles away from home, you can contact people with it. You could be up to 50 miles and still talk on GMRS. You have to have good antenna, but you can do that. This handheld is good for 5 to 10 miles. And I can listen in on a lot of different things. You just have to know the frequencies. GMRS radio, get one. I don't make any money from telling you. It's for preparedness. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on. All this bad weather. Another thing you need is a flashlight, a good one. This one can either be plugged in with a USB to charge the battery, or you could use, I believe this one is AAA batteries. And it's bright, and it puts out a really good beam. It's good to have that stuff if you don't drop it, like I did. Anyhow, guys, watch out for the weather. It could get nasty, and just a public service announcement on WTRMTrimRadio.com. And check us out, buy the merchandise. It helps keep us on the air. Hey, there's the Natural Marketer podcast that's going on. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever, and a whole bunch of other shows. Rascala's Fishing in Florida show. We've got the Money and Change show on Sunday nights. We've got Take Point 22. We've got the Brighter Life show, The Bend, the Spiritual Freedom show, and Rascala's Red Pill Reality show. He says, do you want to take the red pill or the blue pill? I keep telling him I want to take the green pill. But no, he kind of wonders why I take the green pill, because I don't want to take either side, you know? I want to behave myself. Well, hey, before we get going here and we talk about Rusty Duck's custom pens, my own disclaimer. I mean, Michael has his own. I have to have mine. Nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. And any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So you want to sit back, relax, and chill out. Chilling out is pretty good, especially when it's hot. It's like 88 degrees here in Ohio. And the air conditioning is just going crazy. And you want to just sit back and chill out and tell your friends about the show. I mean, you know, some of my good buddies, Jerry Bodie in Ohio, watches the show, and he watches Money and Change. And I have other people that watch the show, and I have contacts that come in from Myanmar. I have contacts from India. I have contacts in South Africa, Europe, North America. I don't have anybody sending me anything from Iceland. You know, summertime in Iceland, it's like our fall. I don't think it gets up to 60 degrees. Nice country, though. I've had friends that went there. It's expensive, so you want to make sure that your credit card is not maxed out. You want to have it as clean and clear as you possibly can. Well, you know, we always do shout-outs, and a big shout-out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. We've been doing this for quite a while, and Michael and I have had fun doing this, and it's a fun thing to do. I don't get paid to do the show, and I'm here to have a little bit of fun and hopefully lighten up your day or evening, and when we get to Money and Change, that's a little bit more serious, but tonight it's kind of like, hey, let's chill out a little bit. Well, we have Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista. They're out in the middle of Wisconsin, and it's summertime finally out there. We have the Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King, and it is so hot down in Wiggins, Mississippi, that they have to utilize their little cabin, which is away from the house, and all the heavy air conditioning, and they can stay in the cabin and use solar panels to get the electricity and all that. But they still have to run a fan to try to sleep in that cabin. It might work in the winter time, but I don't know about the summer. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. God, you got to check him out. I mean, Dave is talking a lot about what's going on in the world and what's going on with the markets here in the States. Then we have Ed Carswell, Prepper Nurse One, and the Canadian Prepper, Nate. And also we've got Eric at Goshen Prepping. He's up in Michigan. And he's a retired doctor. And he's something else. Very smart man. And he just did a buy of medical stuff that somebody was selling at a garage sale, and he had $30 for a box of everything, gauze pads, whatever. He does a lot of garage sales. And so that was his latest video on YouTube. Also, a big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. It's summertime, it's a little bit slower, but they do have classes going on, and they have orientation for new students and so forth. And I'll tell you what, it's a great campus, great professors. You can get a bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctoral degree. I mean, they are really good, and the facilities are really nice. Matter of fact, they're putting in a new all-weather practice field, and they have a huge indoor arena that they use for all kinds of sporting events, except for football. They still haven't got one big enough to play football indoors, but maybe. They're a Division II school, NCAA. So check them out. That's the University of Findlay, located in Findlay, Ohio, www.findley.edu. But last but not least is Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Now, Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens makes some beautiful pens. And if you have need for a presentation pen for, let's say, a college professor, student, your friend, your neighbor, your business, and you have a design in mind on how you would like to do it, get a hold of Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Blanks are the center part of the pen. And he does that all custom. It comes out of the shop in just, they're beautiful. They really are. His Second Amendment pens are fantastic. And if you go to our My World page on Facebook or Money and Change, you will see some of his pens. And I've been putting them up there. He sells them all over, especially down at Disney World. He's taken stuff to trade shows in Japan and so forth. And the pens are good. I mean, very good. The quality is fantastic. So you want to check them out. That's Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks on Facebook. Well, guys, that's so much for the shout-outs. But we've got so much stuff to talk about tonight. You know, we talked a little bit about the storms. Are you prepared? If you go to the Trim Radio Network, My World, Life, Laugh, and whatever, you'll find out that Dave Kobler talked about the best radios for prepping for an emergency. And he talked about GMRS radios. He talked a little bit about ham radios, where you have to have a license and you have to pass a test. Well, with GMRS, like I said, you pay the $35 fee. The license is good for 10 years. And you could set up a network and talk to friends, neighbors, whatever. And you can also get on the FRS, Family Radio Service channel, as well as the General Radio Service channel, which is GMRS, General Mobile. And you can communicate. And I've got it set up now so that if I need to communicate with a few people, I can get on the radio, I can call them, and we can communicate in an emergency. We have our own emergency channel set up. You've got 22 channels, and you have some repeaters that can send things out farther. But they're good to have. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this is the radio, and I love them. I love them. Do I listen to them all the time? No. If I'm out in the car, I may have this one with me in the car, just to make sure I can listen to trains or planes or whatever. Good little radios. Also have plenty of flashlights. Do you have plenty of batteries for your radios? Now, all the expensive radios are basically plug into a special holder. I can't use AAA or AA batteries. It just doesn't work with these radios. Some radios have that. The cheap blister packs that you can get at Walmart, better known as Wally World, or other places, Cabela's, places like that. You can get radios that operate on rechargeable batteries. That's fine. These are special batteries, and they last for quite a while. So be prepared. Do you have enough water in an emergency? You know, they say it's 1 gallon per person per day, and really, it's 3 or 4 gallons per person per day. 1 gallon is just for drinking. You got to use it for other things, you know. Do you have enough food? Do you have canned food? Have you been stocking up? It sounds like this is a prepper show, but with stuff that's going on in the world and stuff that's going on with the weather, you had better be prepared. Do you have some tarps? The blue tarps you get at Home Depot or whatever, Wally World, you know, Walmart. You can put those on your roof. And if you have a leak, they can go up there. I mean, that's great. I was talking to somebody just before the show, and they wanted to sell a roof that is supposed to last up to 100 years, but it has a 50-year warranty. And I'm going to consider it, and I want to see what the price is. Not that I will probably buy one, but if I find the price is reasonable and I can afford it, I might consider it. The roof I've got on my house is basically 15 years old. It's got a 25-year warranty. I still have some time to go on it, but I want to see what the quality of these roofing materials are. They happen to be metal with a special coating on them, so you don't see dents and other things. So with the 50-year warranty, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But I'll check it out. I'll let you guys know. Well, how about those Canadian and U.S. fires out west? You know, I've heard a lot of reports of the smoke has carcinogens and so forth, different things to do, cause different problems. And they think that some of it was started, but they're not sure. And it all comes down to how you keep your trees. Do you have a lot of pine needles on the ground? Do you rake those up and get rid of them? You have a lot of pine cones. You have other trees that a lot of leaves and so forth. Sometimes you have problems with forest fires and you get stuck with that. So how do you handle the forest fires? You know, it's touchy, and the stuff was out in Canada and the winds have carried it down into Ohio. And there are some days when I walk out, my eyes burn and itch. And I basically find myself staying inside a lot and I don't go out. The air conditioning is going. I've got an air filter system that's independent of the HVAC system that I have to make sure that my air is fairly clean here in the house. In some places, they don't have anything like that. I mean, the water that I'm drinking is triple filtered and it goes into a Berkey filter system, Berkey water system. The Berkey system isn't cheap, but around here, our water has a chlorine smell and slight taste to it. And so I run it through the filters. And by the time I get it, I don't have any taste problems. It's just water. And it's good. Matter of fact, I'm so daggone thirsty. It was so hot out today. I was out and decided to get the mower out and mow the lawn because we've had so much rain. You know, it gets to be a jungle out there. And I have a friend of mine comes over and helps me. And I thought, well, I would help him. And so I mowed about 3/4 of the yard. And then I have another property that he does. And so between the two of us, we got some stuff done. And I got a little sweat equity. A lot of sweat equity because 88 degrees and not much wind. Oh, yeah, the humidity is something else. Michael knows more about that than I do because he's in South Carolina. Well, hey, how was your 4th of July? How was it? Did you go out? Did you have picnics? Did you stay home? Did you set off fireworks? Did you go see the fireworks being shot off? I don't know about you. As I get older, I can watch the fireworks on TV. I don't have to go out. But sometimes friends of mine will say, oh, let's go watch the fireworks. And you find a place to park and you're waiting for the fireworks to begin. And the traffic is out there and the kids playing with sparklers and everything else. And I have my own favorite spot. And I can, when it's all over with, I can start the car, pull into the street almost to my left, back out, and I'm back out on the road again. And I probably am the first or second person out of that street. And there are probably 50, 60 cars on that street. And so I want to get out of Dodge before everything cuts loose. And then I started to think last night, you know, as the fireworks were going off, and it was really nice. What about the emergency rooms? Do they let their staff go out and watch the fireworks, or are they busy? You have to think about that. Especially, it's supposedly a full moon. And you know what happens on full moons. But how was your 4th of July? You know, when I was growing up, we had a park in town called Fountain Park. And it was a long park, probably about 6-7 blocks long. It had an upper level and a lower level. And the upper level was up where there was a lake and a hydraulic canal and so forth. Nice area. And then the park was below that. And they had the baseball field, and they had a pavilion where there was a band that played. And we had all kinds of games and kiddie rides and things like that. And the people just went to it, and it was a good time. And then finally, somehow a lot of civic groups said, yeah, we're done with it. I don't know why, because it was a popular place to be. And then as soon as the band concert was over with and it was dark, that's when the fireworks went off. And they had the baseball field, which is a nice baseball field. They allowed people to sit in the bleachers, but they couldn't go out onto the field because out there they had the fireworks. And you could sit there and watch things as pop bottle rockets zoomed by your head because some idiot was sending things off. Could never figure out why they did that with a crowd of people around. But it was always a fun time. And they always had a baseball game in the afternoon, you know, and then they had the band concert at night, and they had all kinds of stuff going on. And the barbecue chicken, oh, it was to die for. It was fantastic. The sugar waffles. Oh, it just makes me hungry now. And all that's going on. And you see neighbors you haven't seen in a long time. And you see some people that you've never seen before in a town of 22,000. And you're going, where did they come from? And you think you know a lot of people in town, which I kind of do. But there are also some other people that I've never seen before. And they're all walking through with the little kids and everything. And they're tugging on their mom or dad's shirt and going, Daddy, Daddy, I want to do this. I want to do that. And of course, it costs money. And people had a good time back then. And then we got into the 90s. And somehow nothing was family-oriented anymore. It kind of was, but then it wasn't. And finally, the city decided they would take it over. And they decided to move it downtown. Okay, they blocked off a few streets, and they had their celebration. And maybe there were a few more people, but it wasn't the same as being in that park because you had the shade from the trees. I mean, it was loaded with trees. Nice walk through the park and everything. It was great. But that was then. And now it's kind of like, okay, let's just do something downtown. And we'll do a few things. And then the fireworks are going to be shot off at another park. And it's just not the same. It's a small park where they set them off. You can't be around when they're doing it. You have to be on at a mall in a parking lot, or you know, restaurant parking lot, or back on special streets that I know how to get to and not really run into a whole bunch of people. And it's just one of those things, you know, it's not the same as when I was growing up. And I don't know if they had sugar waffles downtown. I didn't, you know. You just kind of wonder. But it's the 4th of July. And everybody celebrates differently on the 4th of July. And I was looking up some stuff tonight. There was Independence Day known on WikiLeaks or Wikipedia, not WikiLeaks. And they said it was known as a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the Declaration of Independence, which was ratified by the Second Continental Congress of July 4th, 1776. Now, that's a fur piece back there. Now, the founding fathers had delegates of the Second Continental Congress declared that the 13 colonies were no longer subject or subordinate to the monarch of Britain, like King George III, and were now united, free, and independent. And they passed the Lee Resolution on July 2nd and adopted the Declaration of Independence 2 days later on July 4th. Now, if you take a look at the background, during the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain in 1776 actually occurred on July 2nd. And then that was with the Declaration of Independence going on. And Thomas Jefferson, we all remember Thomas Jefferson. He was probably one of the greatest presidents. He said, well, Jefferson consulted extensively with the other four members of the Committee of Five. He largely wrote the Declaration of Independence in isolation over 17 days. Could you imagine that? 17 days in isolation, writing this document. It was a stroke of genius. And a lot of politicians don't really read it and understand it. Did you have the Constitution as part of your social studies in school? It was a great document. It was one of the best documents, I would say, since the Magna Carta. And it was kind of based on the Magna Carta, but then elaborated by Thomas Jefferson, who was a genius. He was good at everything. He was a good mathematician, astronomer, spoke different languages. He was great. I mean, he really was. And it was just a great document, and it's out there. Well, anyhow, what happened in the observances of July 4th? Well, in 1777, 13 gunshots were fired in salute, once at morning, once again in the evening, on July 4th in Bristol, Rhode Island. And an article in the July 18th, 1777 issue of the Virginia Gazette noted a celebration in Philadelphia in a manner a modern American would find familiar with the official dinner for the Continental Congress. Toast, 13 gun salutes, speeches, prayers, music, parades, troop reviews, and fireworks, and ships in port were decked out with red, white, and blue bunting. Then in 1778, from his headquarters at Ross Hall near New Brunswick, New Jersey, General George Washington marked July 4th with a double ration of rum for his soldiers and an artillery salute. And across the Atlantic Ocean, Ambassadors John Adams and Benjamin Franklin held a dinner for their fellow Americans in Paris, France. In 1779, July 4th fell on a Sunday. The holiday was celebrated on Monday, July 5th. And in 1781, the Massachusetts General Court became the first state legislature to recognize July 4th as a state celebration. And then in 1870, the U.S. Congress made Independence Day an unpaid holiday for federal employees. 1938, Congress changed Independence Day to a paid federal holiday, probably because the federal employees were kind of ticked off. And so they went ahead and did that. And that's great. And state employees, it also fell that way too. But Independence Day is a national holiday marked by patriotic displays. And per 5 U.S. Code, subsection 6103, Independence Day is a federal holiday. So all non-essential federal institutions, such as the post office and federal courts, are closed on that day. Well, gee, if you wanted to have an Independence Day pen made by Phil over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks, you could have that done. I imagine he has a whole bunch of designs that he would do. But that's a little history behind Independence Day. Well, what else has been going on? Did you hear about the riots in France? Oh, my God. They had all these immigrants come into France. They came into Sweden, Belgium, Germany. Hungary didn't let any immigrants in. The only real immigrants that they let in were Ukrainians, and that was a special deal. And they're helping them out with humanitarian aid. However, everybody that took the boat across the Mediterranean that ended up in Italy, that went on to France and other places, they didn't assimilate in the realm of things. Let's put it that way. And I just saw on Twitter, the Alcazar Library in Marseille, France, is the largest library in France, containing an archive of 1 million historically significant documents. Hopefully, because they better have those backed up, because that place is now torched. Could you imagine people setting fire to a library of all these historical books? That would drive me nuts. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, the flames and everything, and the riots that they had in Paris, and it spilled over into Belgium, and then they have problems up in Sweden. I think they have a little bit of problems in Denmark and maybe the Netherlands. It really upsets me. People can't behave. And maybe it's because they come from a different group of people that think that they can riot and start fires and everything else. And I don't think that would fly here in the States. And I hope everybody just stops, takes a deep breath, drinks some water, and chills out. There's no need for all this violence. It's going to really erupt into some stuff. And we don't need that. You don't need it. I don't need it. Your country, if you're in India or Myanmar or South Africa, you don't need that. But here I'm looking at that and the riots and everything that's going on. I think Paris said that they had 40,000 police trying to stop the riots. It's just insane. I mean, it seems like people here are just going nuts. Was it the jab that causes it? I don't know. I have no idea. Is it because we're going to have a different type of a monetary system? You know, they're saying that Fed now started as of July 1 with the banks communicating to other banks, and they said you can transfer money and do all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, Okay, that's fine. You have the SWIFT accounts in Switzerland and so forth. Well, electronically, you could do it through FedNow or other things, other systems. But I keep hearing people say, well, no, it's a bad thing because then the government controls your money and what you can spend on. And I'm looking at that thinking, okay, you can transfer money, you can use your credit card and so forth, you could use your bills to pay for things. But I'm not so sure I want the government saying, well, no, sorry, you can't have a jug of milk on your credit card, or we don't take cash, or we don't do this, we don't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, just to survive. I think they're going to have to really do some research into this whole situation with FedNow. And other countries are going to be going to it too. And that's just crazy. Well, hey, did you know that they found, according to Twitter, some white powder in the White House? A little nose candy, a little toot, a little snort. I guess that's the street lingo for the stuff. Found some cocaine in a room. And I would think that wouldn't be allowed in Congress. It wouldn't be allowed in the White House or the Treasury or anyplace else. But it happened. And I have a feeling that they're going to get to the bottom of what happened. They better. Because a lot of people I've talked to said, our government's going down the tubes. And the politicians aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And a lot of other things, you know. And there were videos of kids hitting other kids in class. And I'm thinking, where's the civility? What have we done? People just, for no reason, hurt people. You know, I was really upset today. I was checking things out on Facebook, and a friend of mine has a page that shows the traffic in the downtown area. And I thought, okay, what's new? What's going on? And the city put in these dividers down Main Street. And what happens with those dividers is it's supposed to slow things down. Well, it's caused more almost accidents than what people really realize until they see these videos. And this friend of mine has a sign shop. And today he was walking to the bank across the street to make a deposit. And he was legally in the crosswalk. And here comes a car, actually it was an SUV, down Main Street, narrowly missing this friend of mine by inches. The speed limit there was 25, and that SUV had to be doing close to 40. That's uncalled for. If he would have been killed, you're talking about one of the best sign businesses in the Midwest, if not the country. I mean, he's earned national awards. And somebody goes and tries to run him over. And other people aren't paying attention. I was at College and High Streets. And it's a four-way stop. People drive right on through it. And the person right behind him doesn't stop. And they go ahead and make a left-hand turn right in front of me. And they miss me by about 2-3 feet. And that's a common occurrence. You would think that the police would be around there looking for people like that. And I've said one of these days I'm going to put a camera in my car. And as I'm driving, I'll go right to that area and a couple others that I know. And we'll see if people behave themselves. I swear, people wearing the mask during COVID destroyed some brain cells. It had to. I've never seen people act like that in a long time. Yeah, occasionally you might have somebody failure to stop at a stop sign. But that was a rarity. Now it's commonplace. And this isn't New York. This isn't Columbus. This isn't Cincinnati. This isn't Cleveland or Indianapolis. We don't need that. And if things don't happen quickly, I imagine there'll be a bunch of people at the next city commission meeting, and they'll be asking some questions. But that's what we run into. I mean, after COVID, things are going nuts. And people's behavior is going nuts. And, you know, with these riots, what's the cost of repairing the damage of burned out buildings or explosions in buildings? How about the price of all those priceless books in that library in Marseille, France? I don't think that they have a backup for some of that stuff. That's uncalled for. Well, that's what's been going on. And it's, I don't know. I don't know what to say, what to do. I just want to stay away, as far away from trouble as I can possibly stay. One good thing, I'm trying to relearn how to use a smartphone for dumb people. I'm a little computer savvy, but I had a Motorola phone. I liked it and it was great, but it started doing weird things. And I started to say, well, I better get something different. So I went to a Samsung phone, and it's a little bit different than the Motorola. And I'm trying to upload a bunch of documents and stuff to the phone, and I'm having all kinds of problems with it. And normally it hooks in with Bluetooth to my car, so if somebody calls me hands-free, I can talk to people, so I don't get a ticket from the cops, if you know what I mean. And that's been frustrating for the last several days. They ought to make a smartphone for dumb people, but they don't. I mean, I can do okay on computers, but smartphones, sometimes they don't like to play nice. And the only thing that I've had success with this week was I received the electronic version of my football passes for high school football, which I love high school football. We've got a good stadium here. Matter of fact, it's one of the best in the state of Ohio. And we've got a good coach, and we've got a fairly good team, and we've been going to the playoffs and so forth. Well, I've always had a seat on the 50-yard line, almost to the top of the stadium in front of the press box. Now that's, it took some networking to get that position. So I have two seats there. I've had them for years, and before me, my parents had reserved seats and so forth. It's kind of an honor to be able to do that. Very good seats. So now I have to use this Q code thing where all these little squiggles and things are in a box, and you have to show them that to get in, even though they know me, they know where I sit and everything else. But for some reason, they have to use this. I'll eventually get by with it. But, you know, everything that's going on, and I've talked to a lot of different people, they don't like Windows 365, or what is it, Microsoft Office 365, because it puts everything in the cloud, and they don't want stuff going to the cloud. And they have to have a way to fix that, because I have stuff on my computer I want to leave on the local computer so I can access it. If the cloud is down, I have lost everything. And that's not good. And the other thing is that when you save it to the cloud, to save it locally, you have to go ahead and do a save as, which is another operation. And the way that they have Microsoft Office, it needs to be changed. I mean, I'm ready to go and use OpenOffice, which you can save it to anywhere that you want in any style that you want. It's just different than Microsoft Office. Similar, but not quite. And it's adequate because a lot of countries, India or other countries in Europe, use OpenOffice for their documentation. Number one, it's free. And number two, it works very well, and no matter what type of language that you're using. So that's some of my frustrations. But what are you doing to cope with what's going on with the economy? You know, things are getting more expensive. I went to, I think it was Wings and Rings the other night. We had our usual band practice, but it was early, so I didn't have anything to eat. And I was coming back with a friend, and I said, "Have you had anything to eat yet?" And they said, "No." And I said, "Well, where would you want to go?" And they said, "Well, let's just go to Wings and Rings." I said, "Okay." I thought, we'll go there. And we went in, and we got some soft drinks, and we got sandwiches and so forth, and we got the bill. It was almost $50. Actually, with the tip, I think it was probably $54. Just for two cheeseburgers, fries, and two drinks. And the tip wasn't even included. And I said to my friend, I said, "I'm never coming back in here. Number one, it's too expensive. And I can go to Wendy's or someplace else and get better cheeseburger and fries than this place." And it was a long wait. And they like to refrigerate those places. My God, goosebumps were coming out of my arms. I hadn't even eaten yet. But how are you coping with your wallet? You notice you're spending more money for different things. Gas prices here in Ohio have gone down a little bit. It's like $3.14 one day, and the next day it's like $2.97. So I load up on the $2.97 gas. I keep my car full because you never know what's going to happen. Maybe that's the prepper in me, I guess. But every day you go out to the grocery store and you go to get something and the prices are high and keep getting higher, and you notice there's certain things they don't have, things are going to get rough. And some people are saying it could happen by October. So if you're not prepping, if you're not buying a couple cans of food extra a week, that's going to be a problem in the fall. You know, they're saying that they want to take out the sunlight or reduce the sunlight because of global warming. You don't do that because you've got crops that need that light. Next thing you know, they're going to say, "Well, no, you can't grow tomatoes in your backyard. You can't grow cucumbers. You can't grow zucchini or peppers or whatever." Who are they to say that we can't grow our own food? Because if we can't, we're going to have problems when times get tough. And the only people that are making it tough happens to be some of the people in, let's say, Washington, D.C., and a few other places. But how are you coping? I'm watching what I'm spending. I'm watching what I buy. It's only necessity items. And if I need to get a new tarp for the roof, I might do that. I keep stocked up on gasoline. I make sure that I've got enough food to get me by for at least a month, if not 6 months. Canned food can be your best ally. And Eric will tell you, when you go out to the store, whether it's Aldi's or whether it's Albertsons or Publix Market down south or Kroger's, hey, you buy a little extra. And that will help you get through. If you don't have hamburger, you can get frozen hamburger patties and use them for something else later on to have protein. And I listened to something this morning. They said, oh, well, you can live off of vegetables. And a doctor came in and said, you can't do that. Well, you've heard of vegetarians. Yeah. You've heard of vegans. Yeah. But you still need protein. And so that means you still have to have some meat, eggs, things like that. But how are you prepping? How are you going to get through? Are you going to say, I'm going to live beneath my means? If you make $50,000 a year, you better start acting like you're living on $30,000 a year. If you're on minimum wage or assistance, whatever, and it's $25,000 a year, $26,000 a year, you have to conserve as much as you can. Bills are tough to pay. You know, here in Ohio, I just had to pay property tax. Taxes. Often drive a person to drink. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got this week. Hopefully you're prepping. Hopefully you're getting batteries for your radios. You've got radios. You've got flashlights. You've got extra water and extra food, because things could get rough. And if what's happening in France is a precursor to what's going to happen here, we all got to be very careful, very vigilant. With that, that's all I have for tonight, Michael.
All right. Well, we have 3 minutes left, Stu. So I'll tell you what, with the housing prices that just dropped, or the rates that just went up and the housing dropped because it's not available and the housing prices just went up again, we are in trouble. So, you know, I'll tell you what, I am thankful for a lot of things, but, this is going to be rough. We're going to see the fallout of the damage now for the next year and a half to 2 years before things, I think, get back to some type of evenness. But it's not going to be even. It's going to be way higher than what it was. It's never going to go back to what it was. It's never going to change. What you're dealing with now is what we're going to be dealing with for a while. So buckle up, buttercups.
And get ready for that $10 ice cream cone.
Oh, yeah, because it's coming.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. As soon as this show's over, I'm in the car. I'm headed to Covington, Ohio to Sweet Treats. I think I'm going to get a slushie tonight.
Is Pam paying for you?
I don't think so. I always get stuck with the bill. I can't believe that. You know, I always get stuck with the bill. So anyhow, I'll let you know how it works out at Sweet Treats, because it's Wednesday night. Baseball games are getting over with. And I'm going to tell you something. The last time we went on Wednesday, they must have had 50 people standing out front to be serviced. And they only had like maybe 4 people in that little place. But it's a gold mine. So with that, guys, I'm headed to Sweet Treats in Covington, Ohio. I'm going to have myself a slushie or something similar. And have a decent rest of the weekend. And we will talk to you on Sunday at Money and Change.
Weather permitting.
Yeah, weather permitting, that's right.
Weather permitting, guys. And I'm sorry, but the systems that I am running and Stu's running and the system I am building, I will not take chances with, because especially in today's prices. Anyway, folks.
You got it.
Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network and My World with Stu Scheer, and what an honor it is always to speak with him. So I'll tell you what, guys, we will see you on Sunday, weather permitting, unless something comes up. But with that, God bless you. Have a great week. Be good to one another, because times are tough, and I'm just going to tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. Anyway, God bless. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network.
See ya.
Yeah.